We want to go to schools now because reports today the students had to be sent home from school early yesterday due to freezing cold temperatures, with principals struggling to keep their classrooms properly ventilated. And I want to bring in Emer Neville now. Emer is Uachtaráin of the Irish Second Level Students Union. Thanks for joining us, Emer.
Thanks very much for having me.
Emer, what have you been hearing from your student members around the country since the schools reopened on Thursday?
Well, like you said there, we're hearing that students are absolutely freezing in classrooms. Yesterday, a school in Dublin was sent home because their classroom reached as low as 6 degrees, which is absolutely freezing. And they're not allowed to wear coats or jackets. Sometimes it's only if it's a school-crested jacket, which again puts students out of pocket having to go out and buy those jackets, which is really unfortunate, especially for those that mightn't be able to afford them or in DESH schools. And where they just mightn't have access to them. So we're really worried about that, first of all, that students are sitting in freezing cold classrooms, especially with the likes of heavy rain and snowfall, as we've been seeing lately. But we're also getting reports of massive absences from schools. For example, we had been contacted by a school in Kerry, a student in Kerry, and they had 62% of the students in their school were absent. Another student in Loud told us that 330 students out of 880 in their school were absent, with only half of the teachers present. And then additionally, a six-year student in Wexford had only 5 students in his double music class, no teacher or work left for him to complete, and on top of that, was left with no supervision at all throughout the day, just a principal checking on him and his peers throughout.
Right, and you've launched a survey, haven't you, asking students their views on being back at school in light of the current wave and the plans for this year's state examinations. What are you asking them? What are you trying to find out from this survey?
What we're trying to find out is, first of all, information on COVID in school. Do students feel safe? Are they noticing massive absences between students and teachers? Are they getting online tuition if they are isolating due to COVID or close contacts? And then as well as that, we are asking students information about the state examination. So if you're a third year or sixth year student, we're asking you to rank in order what you would like to see if state examinations cannot go ahead in 2022.
And are you getting responses? Are you getting good feedback from that?
Yeah, at the moment we've hit over 3,000 responses, and it's only launched last night. So we're going to be leaving that open until next Friday to let any student who wants to voice their concerns.
And has the Second Level Students Union taken a position on whether the Leaving Cert should be run on a hybrid basis again this year?
We haven't taken a position yet. That's why we're currently consulting with students. We want to know what students are looking for. So if there are any students listening, I would really encourage you to go to iscc.ie/survey, fill it out and let us know what you want to see.
Okay. Emer, many thanks for that. Just giving us a flavour of what's happening out there on the ground. And it's, in many cases, not a pretty picture. Donica O'Leary, can I bring you in on that Leaving Cert question? We're back. It's hard to believe we are back in the same place we were this time last year talking the same thing. Where should we be going with this?
Look, I mean, I think there are some differences, but one of the big things that are similar really is that when you talk to students across the country, I suppose when you take into account the loss of time last year when they were in fifth year with school closures, when you take into account the amount of time that people have to spend in self-isolation, and indeed subject teachers would have had to take in self-isolation, I think an awful lot of students are finding it very, very hard to cover the course in a lot of subjects. So in my view, I think it should be about choice. I think we need to roll out the same model or a similar model such as was there last year to ensure that students can choose either an accredited grade or a written exam. I think that latter part is important. There were some people last year who were looking for exams to be cancelled, some political parties. I didn't agree with that because I knew that students wanted to sit the exam. They wanted the opportunity, and that turned out to be the case. About 87% of the 60,000 students who did it last year chose a combination. And I think that's the fairest thing when you take into account the learning, I suppose, the challenges that have been there in covering the course, and I suppose the stress and anxiety that's been caused by the pandemic as well. I think it is only fair that Leaving Cert students have a choice. We've been shown last year that it can work, that it can work well. So I think it's perfectly logical, reasonable and very fair in the circumstances, in the very challenging COVID year that we have, that Leaving Cert students will get a choice this year.
And that should just be, because I know that the last year we had this Leaving Cert stakeholders group that came, you know, came together and decided on the way forward. Do you think we're gone beyond that now?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say so. I think all stakeholders need to be involved in planning the modalities and details of this. And obviously there could be some adjustments. And one of the things that I think we need to address is third level availability. And you know, fairness as between the different cohorts in different years. So there are issues and details that need to be worked out. I'm not suggesting otherwise. What I would be saying is that the objective here needs to be, the place that we need to get to is a leaving cert based on choice.
Okay.
The same as last year. Of course, all stakeholders need to be part of planning the detail and the rollout of that.
Okay.
But I would like to see that. Yes, I think that's the way.
Minister, hard to argue with that.
Well, what I would completely agree with is that the role of stakeholders is really, really important. So there is this leaving cert advisory group still in place where the minister meets with stakeholders, the department meets with students, with unions and everybody involved in the examination process.
But as a starting point, should...
Well, the starting point always is that the exams will go ahead. So that's always the starting point.
But in what form?
Well, in the what's been planned is that we'll go ahead as normal this year, but with an opportunity for people who are sick or whatever, or a bereavement leave or whatever, to do them a few weeks later. But these things, again, are always kept under review because, I mean, this time last year we were starting a school lockdown, schools were closed, so that the situation is completely different. And what I think,
but isn't this the problem though? The students who really need a bit of certainty going forward now, what are they facing into? And last year, you know, decisions were made very late in the day for students, and really.
Well,
Sorry,
when I was education spokesperson myself, I was extremely critical of decisions being made late in the day because we had the situation there at the beginning of the month of May in 2020 when no decision had been made about the leaving cert. A decision has been made that the exams will happen. That decision has been taken and work is ongoing.
I suppose, Thomas, just to be fair, there's no suggestion that the exam shouldn't happen. It's just that they should have the option of an accredited grade in addition.
Can I just put you, when you hear from Emer there talking about classrooms where, you know, half the teachers are out and, you know, serious situations, people not being able to study because of the cold in the classrooms and all, like, to ask these students to proceed with a leaving cert as if they hadn't had to go through this, are they really, you know, and we don't even know when the peak of this Omicron surge is going to come.
Well, we're hoping that the peak would be the next few days. And we don't know that, but that's certainly the hope. And that's what seems to have happened in other places, South Africa, London, that people are looking at the statistics. And let's hope that happens here. And the decision has been taken. The minister, I think, has been constantly engaging with the interest groups there. And we didn't want to have uncertainty there. So the exams are going ahead as they are. And the certainty
is... Thomas, just to say, I wrote to the minister on the 2nd of December about this very issue. At that early stage, I had parents and students on to me explaining the circumstances in which they were trying to be educated through absenteeism, huge disruption, compromised teaching. You saw what Saoimhe Ryan of Limerick had to say yesterday to the media. Her teaching or her learning ability has been compromised because she's so cold in the classroom. She feels that she has had no chance or opportunity for the last 3 years in which to undertake a normal leaving cert. I don't understand how a decision has been made. There's nothing changed from last year. Absolutely nothing. A dual offering has to be given. The option must be given. We cannot allow a festering of mental anguish, both for parents and students, to continue. I haven't yet received an answer to that letter. I've received numerous emails from students who've also written to the minister who are asking when they might receive a reply. By me. You know, I'm giving them a response, but they can't and haven't heard from the minister. I don't expect the minister's going to write back to individual students, but we need to listen to them. I've been in the schools. I've seen the children wearing their coats and their hats and the windows open with temperature monitors. Essentially, the minute they close the windows, the heat rises, the temperature, and they're open again. It's hugely disrupting. Nothing has changed. Government neglected to install HEPA filters. They ordered a report. Last March, that report said HEPA filters should be installed in schools. That didn't happen. The masks weren't given to the school during the holidays, the medical grade masks. Contact tracing was taken away last September and hasn't been given the go-ahead to be reinstituted.
Can I just get you to respond to that particular point? The idea, and you've heard from principals over the Christmas period, really feeling like they were abandoned and left to their own devices to source these HEPA filters, to do all the hard work themselves. Should the department not have been more front and centre in organising to make its classrooms safe as possible when they returned?
Well, can I just say, just in terms of last year, 122 million was given by the department to schools in relation to keeping the place safe. So you're talking about PPE, you're talking about extra cleaning. So a huge amount of resources.
We've got an airborne virus here, Minister. Cleaning is not going to stop it
from spreading. Are you saying that the World Health Organization or the HSE were not advising people to clean, or RTE wasn't providing saying that hand sanitizer like is right here in front of me.
I'm talking about the fact that this is an airborne virus and there was a drive on for HEPA filters.
Sorry, you're criticizing the government for providing hand sanitizer. Okay, when it was recommended, but you are. I'm sitting here beside one in RTE.
I'm not criticising the government for anything. I'm asking if there should have been more a bigger role for the department in providing HEPA filters and other ventilation advice for schools.
The difficulty with HEPA
over the Christmas break.
Money for HEPA filters has been provided. The World Health Organization themselves have said yes, they're part of the solution, but they're not the answer. And I think all through this pandemic, we've had various things put out there. This will solve the problem.
The other point about HEPA filters is. We know there's no silver bullet. All of these things,
but everything is
though,
presented
help.
As such.
No, it's not. Nobody has ever said HEPA filters are the answer. We still believe in hand sanitising. We still believe in wearing masks. We still believe in social distancing. The HEPA filters are something that the government commissioned a report on. That report was issued and said that HEPA filters should be installed. Almost 10 months later, that has not happened. That's the support the teachers require. That's the complaint the teachers have, that everything government department
okay, let
says
the minister back
is spin.
Yeah.
Look, it's not spin. I mean, there's a 7 day a week helpline there.
That never gives a call back, apparently.
It does, actually, because it's the inspectors themselves who know the schools. But the point with HEPA filters as well is that you can't simply buy a batch of HEPA filters and send them out to schools. Each particular room needs to be judged for what particular type
of
HEPA filter.
Is that not what the report said?
But that's what's happening now. So the money has been provided to schools to be able to do that. But you simply cannot put them out into every classroom and
behind
plug them in, and then it's going to work.
Okay, but this is something that's coming from principals saying that they feel that they have been abandoned and that they don't have the expertise or the time or the wherewithal to do this job that should be done at departmental level.
On the one hand, we have detailed guidelines published by the department based on public health advice. We had a review over Christmas on masks. We have another review on masks in the education sector.
So you think enough has been done?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. There'll never be enough done. And I'm very grateful for the work the principals and teachers are doing because we've kept our schools open to the greatest extent possible.
Can you just tell us why the contact tracing was stopped?
Because public health said it should be stopped. Nobody in government made that decision.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a break. We'll take a break now.
Tweet at Saturday RTE.
And just before we leave the issue of vaccination and COVID certs, Minister, you mentioned earlier about, you know, you were encouraging people to go ahead and get the booster because to protect their own health, but also because people will need these COVID certs down the line for travelling. What is the situation with the issuing of those certs now?
So as of yesterday evening, there were about 700,000 digital COVID booster certs issued, which is a huge number over the previous 2 days. So I just know somebody in my household got one the day before on Thursday. Mine came in the email last night. So they're starting to be rolled out. I imagine there'll be more tomorrow and the next day. They can't send them all out at once because it would just they could end up in spam folders or whatever. So it's a very, very big job. And I suppose the way the booster campaign has worked, particularly in the run-up to Christmas, it was a huge rush out. I got my booster on the 20th of December. Just after my age group opened, and mine came in last night, so there should be no particular delay, and that'll keep happening over the next few days. But you do need them in certain countries in Europe, even for dining, depending on your age as well. So
and I know this was floated by the Taoiseach actually that this could be coming in for dining here. Can you confirm that that's completely off the table in terms of what you will need to get into hospitality here?
There'll be nothing off the table, but it's not required at the moment. And I think I'm not sure you could require it while it is considered that the vaccines are valid or whatever. And not everybody has had the opportunity to get a booster out yet either. It wouldn't be fair. But everything will be done in accordance with public health advice. But there's no doubt there will be needed for travel. Outside the country once the 1st of February pass, and if your second dose is more than 9 months. They are also currently needed in some European countries as well for dining, etc. So these are things people will have to have, even if we don't impose further restrictions along those lines.
Okay.